A Place to Hide by Howard Curtis.
Bennett, hello.
Hello.
You walk so fast, I thought I'd never catch up with you. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't know who I am. I'm Mary Marshall. My husband and I have just moved here, into the house just across the street from you.
Ah, yes, of course.
You probably saw the removal van outside our door the other day.
Yes, I did.
Oh, it's taken us ever so long to settle in, or we'd have said hello to our neighbours before now. There we are, we've met at last.
Well, I'm very pleased to meet you. My name's Andy Bennett. But then you know my name.
Yes. You see, I was standing behind you in the post office just now, and when you went out, I asked the lady behind the counter who you were, because, of course, I want to get to know everybody here. That's how I found out you live across the street from us. I didn't know, you see, not having seen you about.
It's true, I don't go out much.
I also found out you're a Londoner. Have you been here long?
Nearly 6 months.
Ah, it's quiet, isn't it? After London, I mean. But Phil, that's my husband. He's been saying for years we ought to move to the country. He's over the moon to be here at last. Do you like it here?
Yes, it's me fine.
Must be a good atmosphere to work in, I suppose. You see, the other thing I found out about you... Oh, I hope you don't think I've been prying.
No.
But that lady in the post office is a bit of a gossip, isn't she? Well, anyway, the other thing she told me about you is that your work is something to do with drawing.
Yes, that's right. I'm an illustrator.
How fascinating. What exactly do you illustrate?
Books, magazines, I do comic strips too.
That really does sound fascinating. I've never met an illustrator before, you see.
Oh, we're a pretty normal bunch of people.
All the same, it must be exciting. Oh, look, here I am chattering away as I always do. I must be keeping you from your work.
No, that's all right.
But look, Andy, you don't mind me calling you Andy, do you? It's been really nice meeting you. I hope we meet again.
I'm sure we will.
Yes. Well, after all, it is a small world, isn't it? Oh, and you must meet Phil. I'm sure you'd get on very well together.
Just a minute.
Hello. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No.
Mary Marshall. We met the other day, remember?
Yes, of course I remember. Come in.
Thank you. I won't stop. I just called to invite you over. You see, I told Phil I'd spoken to you. He's very keen to meet you. And we were wondering if you'd like to drop by this evening. If you're not too busy, that is. But if you are free, we'll be in all evening.
That's very kind of you.
Oh. Is that your drawing board?
Yes.
Do you mind if I have a look?
No, go ahead. What do you think of it?
Your drawing? Oh, I wouldn't presume to say anything. I'm no expert.
But then I'd be interested in your opinion. Fire away, tell me what you think.
Well, it's kind of you to ask me. All I can say is it looks very good. You're obviously very talented.
Thank you. Listen, while you're here, would you like a coffee or something?
Oh, no, I mustn't keep you from your work any longer. And besides, I feel a bit guilty. I should be helping Phil in the house. I mean, it's such a messy business moving into a new place, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Still, Phil's in his element. He loves all that kind of thing. He's very handy, you see.
I envy him. I can't even hammer a nail.
Oh, but you have your work. That must take up all your time. Phil's given up his other work completely.
What was his other work?
He used to be an accountant in London.
What does he intend to do now?
Well, he's always been interested in carpentry, you see. As long as I've known him, he's spent his spare time in his workshop making things. He made a lot of our furniture. In the end, I suppose he got more interested in that than in accountancy, so he decided to move away from London and devote himself to furniture full time.
You mean he plans to start a furniture business?
Oh, on a very small scale, of course.
Is there a market?
Well, of course, there won't be much call here in the village. It's not big enough. He'll have to travel, try and sell to shops in the towns round about it. It's all a bit vague at the moment.
Do you think he can make a go of it?
He thinks he can. And he's happy. And that makes me happy. Oh, I can guess what you're thinking. I can see it in your face. You think we're a bit mad.
Not at all.
Oh, I don't blame you. It's a risk, I admit. But you see, Phil was never happy in his work. He's been dreaming about this move for years. And now that he's finally done it, I'm glad for his sake. Mind you, it'll take some getting used to for me. Lord knows how I'll manage out here in the wilds with nobody to talk to. And now I've met you, you'd better watch out. Pretty soon you won't be able to get rid of me. Now, you won't forget about this evening, will you?
No, I'll certainly try and make it. Your invitation has come at a very opportune moment.
Oh, how's that?
This new assignment I mentioned is to illustrate a handbook on carpentry, about which, as I said, I know absolutely nothing.
Oh, well then, you must meet Phil.
That's what I mean. I was getting worried about what to do. Tools, for instance, I barely know a file from a chisel.
Well, Phil would certainly be able to help you there. You see, it really has worked out marvellously. I was so worried moving here that we wouldn't get on with anybody being Londoners. I can't tell you how relieved I am to discover we have such a friendly neighbour.
That's very kind of you to say so.
Well, till tonight then.
Till tonight.
So, you're Andy. My wife told me a lot about you.
Nothing too awful, I hope.
Oh, no, all sorts of interesting things. Now, you want to see my workshop, isn't that right?
Oh, Phil, at least let Andy sit down and relax for a moment. He's got all the time in the world to see your workshop.
Quite right, point taken. Grab a seat, Andy, if you can find somewhere to perch yourself in all this mess. I'm afraid you'll have to excuse us. We're not quite settled in yet.
You can say that again. It's like living on a building site.
No, really, it's very nice.
Oh, flatterer.
It'll be nice when I've finished with it.
Did you make all the furniture here?
No, not all. That chair there is one of mine.
Ah, yes.
Oh, well, what do you think of it?
It's very nice.
Try it. Sit on it. Well?
It's fine.
Good.
Coffee, Andy. We've just had some. It should still be hot.
That would be fine.
Lovely. I'll be right back.
So, you draw.
That's right.
You know, I admire people who do things with their hands.
Well, you've got an advantage over me there. I understand you're going into the furniture business.
That's the plan.
Well, you must be excited.
Excited? I'm like a kid with a new toy. You'll see before you a man who, for the first time in his life, is going to do what he wants to do, not what other people want him to do. Oh, it's a great feeling.
It must be.
Oh, it's a dream come true, that's what it is. To think that I'm finally here with clean air to breathe, space to move around in, time to think, to plan ahead.
Oh, waxing lyrical again, is he? He's at it like that all the time.
Well, it's true, I feel like a new man.
I know, my love, and it's good to see it. Here's your coffee, Andy.
Thank you.
Can I ask you something, Andy?
Go ahead.
I was wondering why you left London to come here.
Well, I suppose to work in peace, without distractions.
You find it easy to make the move?
More or less.
It must be easier if you've got no ties.
I wouldn't exactly say I had no ties. I think it was all for the best. I feel much freer now. I can concentrate on my work.
Don't you ever feel lonely?
Well, yes, sometimes, I admit. You may be surprised by this, but tonight is the first time I've visited anyone in the village, and I've been here 6 months.
Well, you must visit us again, and don't take 6 months about it.
And you earn enough to make a living? If you don't mind my asking.
I don't mind at all. Yeah, I certainly can't complain about the money.
You're a man to be envied, Andy.
Hardly.
Oh, you're your own boss. Nobody breathing down your neck.
Tell that to my agent.
All the same.
No, next thing we know, Phil will be taking up drawing.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sure I'd have no talent for it. Stick to what you know, is what I say. And what I know is carpentry.
Some more coffee, Andy?
No, thanks.
It's a pity we can't offer you something stronger, but we don't have any alcohol in the house right now.
Doesn't matter. Used to drink quite a bit in London, but since coming here, well, I've not had much of a social life, and it's been a good opportunity to try and kick the habit.
We don't drink at all.
What she means, Andy, is she doesn't drink. But I don't mind a glass now and then.
Oh, now, Phil.
Now, don't start tut-tutting, Mary. A little tipple now and then never hurt anybody.
A little tipple, no.
What Mary's hinting at is, oh, I used to have a bit of a drink problem. But that's all in the past, isn't it, Mary?
I should hope so.
I'll tell you about it if you like, Andy. It's a quite interesting story.
Oh, Phil, you don't want to start off on all that.
Well, why not? It might do me good to talk about it, just to prove how cured I am.
Phil, please.
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter if you don't
nonsense,
want...
Nonsense, nonsense. I'd like to tell you, Andy. I think you'd understand. Well, it all started last year. My work was getting a bit on top of me. Not that it was unpleasant. In fact, I usually enjoyed it. But last year it got so that I wondered why I'd ever chosen it in the first place. Getting up in the morning and going to that office seemed to be the most absurd thing I could possibly do. I suppose it's not such an unusual feeling. Especially when you get to my age, you've been in the job a long time. But you see, I'd always been so busy. I'd never stopped. I lived for my work, and now suddenly it meant nothing to me anymore. I felt at work that I was only half a man. It was different at weekends, though. At weekends in my workshop, in my overalls, standing by my bench with my tools all to hand, a smell of fresh wood shavings in my nostrils. So reassuring, you know, the smell of fresh wood shavings. That's when I was really myself.
Oh, once he was in that workshop of his, Andy, you couldn't get him out. Not for meals, not for anything.
The trouble was, I couldn't keep it up. I mean, that feeling I had at weekends, I couldn't keep it up through the week. I tried, though. I tried in other ways. Sometimes when I left the office in the evenings, instead of going straight home, I'd start walking. But nothing particular in mind, just to get the office out of my system. I'd walk and think. And it would get dark, and then I'd realise what time it was and go home. Of course, Mary was worried sick.
I didn't know where to turn. He'd never done that kind of thing before.
Then, on one of my walks, it must have been last September or October.
The end of September. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Anyway, I found myself on Hampstead Heath. It was getting dark. There was nobody about. I wasn't far from the road. I could hear cars passing, but from where I was standing, I couldn't see anybody. And nobody could see me. I just stood there. I don't know how long for. There was nothing I wanted to do. Nowhere I wanted to go. Everything seemed so futile. So futile. In the end, I came off the heath and went into the first pub I could find and started drinking. I lost all sense of time.
You got home after 9. It was late enough. I had to put you to bed, and then you slept like a log and didn't wake up until 11 the next morning.
That's right. Of course, it was too late to go to work, even if I'd felt up to it, so I stayed at home.
He spent the whole day in his workshop.
Which was probably what I wanted to do all along. Anyway, after that, any time I had a bad day or life in general was getting me down, I'd do the same thing. Go on a binge, get home late, sleep around the clock, then lock myself up in my workshop. That's all that mattered, my workshop.
Did this go on for a long time?
Oh, a couple of months. The last time, and the worst, was, when was it, Mary? The dates get blurred in my mind.
December, a week before Christmas.
I don't remember a thing. But I do know how ill I was all through Christmas. Well, that was it. That was the writing on the wall. I knew then that things couldn't go on like that anymore. That's when I decided we had to move. How now, Mary?
I'm sorry.
In front of our guests, too.
Oh, yes, you must forgive me, Andy. It's just that... Well, remembering all this...
It's all right. I understand.
Of course you understand. I knew you would. That's why I told you. Now, dry your eyes, Mary.
Yes, I'm all right now.
There's no reason not to be. All that's in the past. I'm quite cured now. There's no need for me to drink any more. I'm happy. We both are. Aren't we, Mary?
Yes. Yes, of course we are.
Now, how about taking a look at my workshop, Andy?
Yes, I'd love to.
Don't let him keep you there too long. I know what Phil's like when he gets going.
Oh, don't worry. I'll let you out before midnight. Mary's afraid you'll turn into a pumpkin.
More likely a handsaw or a drill.
I'll be careful.
You must forgive Mary. She worries a bit too much about me sometimes.
Well, I suppose it's understandable.
Oh, yes. Oh, please don't think I'm blaming her. She's a wonderful woman, Andy. She's one in a million.
Yes, she is.
You know, when I proposed to her, it took her completely by surprise. Looking back on it, it seems incredible that nobody had realized how special she was. How special she is. Sometimes I wonder if I really deserve her.
I'm sure.
It's just that she's so devoted to me. She's made quite a sacrifice, you know, coming here with me.
Well, if things work out...
Oh, they will, Andy. Well, make no mistake about it, they will. Now, there we are. Step right in. Well, what do you think? You look surprised.
I am. I wasn't expecting anything so...
What?
So neat and tidy, so spotless.
Bit different from the rest of the house, eh?
That's what surprised me.
Of course, all that mess will be cleared up soon. But I did think it was a good idea to get this room kitted out first. Don't tell Mary I said so, but this, to me, is the most important room in the house.
Well, it's quite a showpiece.
It's not just for show, Andy.
No, of course.
It's for work, too. Lots of work.
Yes, of course.
I know, it's easy to be cynical.
It wasn't being
cynical. To scoff and say it's all a pipe dream. Well, it isn't a pipe dream. I mean to work hard and get this business going.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sorry, Andy. I didn't mean to snap at you.
It's all right.
I like you, Andy. Do you know that? I can talk to you. You understand things. When were you thinking of coming in to do your drawing?
Tomorrow? That's all right with you?
Oh, Lord, you're keen. Yes, that's fine with me. Come in any time you like. I want you to think of this house as your own. Now, let me show you the tools of my trade.
Coming!
Good morning.
Good morning, Andy. You're nice and early. Come in.
Still here?
No, guess what? First thing this morning, he went out in the car.
Where to?
To the coast. He's decided to make a start on visiting the furniture stores to see if they're interested in his work.
I thought he was going to wait a while till he was settled in.
He was. But do you know what I think changed his mind? Meeting you.
Meeting me?
Well, talking about your work, the way you managed to earn a living, I think it impressed him, gave him the push he needed.
Well, I'm glad to have been of help.
You see, the thing about Phil is... Oh, sit down, Andy. No. It's a big step for him. Biggest in his life. When we were first married, you see, he had such dreams. Well, who doesn't at a certain age? He was going to conquer the world. Well, he didn't, of course. But then I never expected him to. I like him just the way he is. And yet I know he's always felt guilty about it because the way he sees it, he hasn't given me all the things he promised me.
Now he thinks he can.
Yes. He feels it's his big chance to make things right. It's a lot to live up to.
Well, anything I can do to help, I'll be glad to. But I'm sure he's going to succeed.
Oh, I'm sure he is. You know, talking about what happened last year, I know it upset me, but... Well, I think it did him a lot of good to get it off his chest. It's one of the things he feels most guilty about.
It's nothing to feel guilty about. It happens to lots of people.
Well, I suppose so. But, you know, he didn't tell you the whole story.
How do you mean?
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't even remember some of the things he did. He was that far gone at times. The beatings, the abuse. I know he didn't mean any of it.
I'm sorry, I had no idea.
Oh, it wasn't him, Andy. It was the drink. Before last year, he'd never been violent. Depressed, yes, lots of times. He was a moody sort of person. I accepted that. I knew that was the way he was. That was the man I'd married. But violent, no, never before.
And since?
Oh, no, Andy. It was all part of the drinking, and that ended last December. Oh, I know I make a fuss when he wants a drink. That's just me. I'm always fussing. But... oh, dear, what must you think of us?
What do you mean?
Here we are, both of us, pouring out our hearts to you, and you hardly know us. We're not usually such moaners.
I'm sure you're not. And really, I don't mind. In fact, I'm pleased you feel you can confide in me.
But you don't want to be burdened with our troubles.
You're not burdening me. And besides, you just told me your troubles are over.
Yes, I did, didn't I?
And you know, I was telling the truth last night. I haven't got to know anybody in the village before now. I've done my work and kept myself to myself. Now I've met the two of you, I feel I'm back in the world of people again.
That's nice to know, Andy.
So any time you want to tell me your troubles, don't hesitate.
Thank you. Oh, but don't forget, Andy, you just said so yourself. Our troubles are over.
Well, hello, stranger.
Hi, Phil.
Long time no see.
I'm sorry about that. I've been very busy.
Can't be helped.
See Mary, though?
So she tells me.
Well, she's always dropping in to see how my work's going on, to bring me things to eat. Cakes, sandwiches, pies. She seems to think because I live on my own, I don't get enough to eat.
Just like Mary.
I understand you've been doing a lot of travelling.
That's right.
Getting many orders.
Look, don't let's talk in the street. Come and have a drink with me.
A drink? Where?
Pub, of course.
Do you think that's wise?
Oh, I forgot. You're trying to give it up, aren't you?
I was thinking about you.
Well, there's no law against my drinking, is it?
No, but Mary...
Oh, she won't mind if you don't know about it.
Well, I really don't think you should.
Oh, come on, Andy. Won't drink won't hurt me. I'm not planning to get sozzled. I can control myself. You know, you're a lucky man, Andy.
What way?
You're not married.
Oh, I see.
You have no ties, no responsibilities. You live for yourself. You work for yourself.
True, but...
you don't have anybody depending on you, expecting things of you, expecting you to succeed.
Do I gather things aren't going too well?
Oh, I dare say they'll improve. But it's taking time.
Why's that?
Ignorance, Andy. I've been up and down the coast in the last couple of weeks, from town to town, and I've met such ignorance, you wouldn't believe it. People who run these stores, they're so set in their ways. If you don't have a name, they don't want to deal with you. They're only interested in this mass-produced stuff. When you talk to them about... quality, about individual, handcrafted quality, they look at you as if you just landed from Mars.
What do you plan to do?
Oh, I'll manage it. Don't you worry. I might have to sell direct, not go through stores at all.
That's an idea.
It's so infuriating, though, when you know you can do something and people are so ignorant they just can't see it.
Is that why you're drinking again?
What?
I said, is that why you're drinking again? Because you've had this setback.
Andy, I thought you were my friend.
I am.
I thought you trusted me. I know I trusted you. And now, here you are, siding with Mary.
I'm not siding with anybody. Hold on, Phil. I'm only thinking of you.
Oh, yes, Mary, too. She's always thinking of me. Don't you think, Andy, that I think of myself? Don't you think that I can be allowed to take care of myself without everybody fussing over me? Because I can, you know. I can take care of myself.
And last year?
Last year was last year. It's all over, I keep telling you. I don't want you or Mary or anybody worrying about me.
There's no need to get hot under the collar, Phil.
I am not hot under the collar. I am quite calm. And I don't need another drink.
That's good.
Oh, yes, I know better than to start down that slippery slope again. Now, are you staying or going?
Going.
Good. Then we can walk back together.
Phil, I'm sorry.
What about?
About what I said.
Oh, there's nothing to feel sorry about. You were worried about me, and now you know there was no need to worry. There's something I must show you, Andy.
Huh?
Something I'm making.
A piece of furniture?
No. No, something else. Just have a look at it when you've got the time to spare.
Well, I could look at it now, if you like.
No. No, it'll take a bit of time. It's not here, you see. It's not in the village. It's in the woods.
In the woods?
Hmm.
What is it?
You'll see, Andy. When you have time. You'll see.
The door's open.
Only me.
Oh, hello, Mary.
I just made some rock cakes. I thought you'd like a few.
You spoil me.
Oh, nonsense. I'll put them in the kitchen.
Thanks, Mary.
Hard at work?
As usual.
Well, you know what they say. All work and no play.
Oh, I thrive in it. But how are you, Mary?
Oh, you know me. Muddling through.
And Phil?
Oh, he's all right.
I haven't seen him since last week. Is he still going around and furnish the stores?
Yes. Well, I suppose he is. He's out in the car all day.
Only he said he was thinking of selling directly without going through the stores.
Well, perhaps he decided to give them another chance. Yes, that's it. He must have decided to give them another chance.
What's the matter, Mary?
The matter?
Something's wrong, isn't it?
Oh, dear. You can see right through me, can't you?
It's not difficult.
No, I don't suppose it is.
And what is it, Mary? Something to do with Phil?
Oh, I really shouldn't worry you about this.
Now, come on, I've told you before you can confide in me, and I meant it.
I know.
Well, then?
Well, it could be I'm making too much of it, but after last year, the slightest thing makes me uneasy.
What's happened?
That's just it. I wish I knew. He won't talk to me. He won't tell me anything. When he comes back in the evening and I ask him what he's done, he just says, business. But when I ask him how it's going, he changes the subject.
Do you think he's really still travelling round the stores?
I don't know what to think. The other day, I...
Mm.
Well, I couldn't help myself, Andy. The other day, when he left in the morning, I watched him from the bedroom window. I don't think he saw me. He opened the boot of the car to check something. His overalls were in there, the ones he wears in his workshop. And also... For some reason, he had a shovel in there.
Does he usually keep a shovel in the boot of the car?
No, that's just the point. That shovel's always kept in the garden shed. The thing is, he was taking his overalls and a shovel with him, and you don't need those to visit furniture stores.
No.
Doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, there's probably some explanation. Why don't I have a word with him?
Oh, and the worst thing of all might be to pester him. Might make him worse.
After what you told me about last year.
Oh, it's not the same as last year. If you'd been there, you'd know. Or for one thing, he's not drinking.
No.
He's probably just depressed because it's taking him longer than he thought to set up the business.
Probably.
He needs cheering up, and to tell the truth, I could do with a bit of a change myself. I wonder if...
Yeah?
Well, the three of us never seem to get together. Why don't we go on a picnic?
A picnic?
I'm sure it'd cheer up Phil no end.
Well, sounds like a good idea to me. What day did you have in mind?
But why not Sunday? You surely don't work on Sundays, too.
I do, but I'll set next Sunday aside.
Oh, wonderful. Then we can spend the whole day out. I'll make a hamper. We can have cold chicken, meat pies, a Dundee cake. Oh, look at me. That's just like me, isn't it? As long as I've got something to keep me busy, I'm happy.
It's good to see you.
But the important thing is to cheer up Phil, isn't it? Cheer him up and take his mind off things.
Oh, my sunshine, my only sunshine, you make me happy when skies are grey. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Why don't we go to the sea?
Yeah, that's an idea.
No, no, not the sea.
Oh, why not? It's such a beautiful day.
No, well, I'm not a sea person. I'm a land person.
Ah, man of the soil.
That's right. Both feet planted firmly on the ground. That's me.
No, you're both as bad as each other. I want to go to the sea.
No, another time, my love. Now, I know the perfect spot.
No, how's that? When have you had time to come here?
Well, sometimes when I've been out in the car, I've made a bit of a detour.
Oh, so that's what you've been doing when you should have been about your business.
Only a bit of a detour, I said. And why not? All work and no play, isn't that so, Andy?
So Mary's always said.
Well, it's true.
I may do a lot of work, but I'm not a dull boy, am I?
Now, you know I didn't mean that. Oh, are we there?
Come on, out you get.
All right, hold on, we're coming.
Come on.
All right. It seems to have done the trick. It
certainly does.
I haven't seen him in such a good mood for ages. It's a great relief.
Come on, what are you two whispering about? Always whispering, you two.
Hold on, we're just coming. Oh, goodness me, I fell asleep.
Yes.
Have I been up for long?
I don't know. I dozed off a bit myself.
Oh, dear. Must be my cooking.
It was rather a lot to eat.
But at least we all enjoyed it. Where's Phil?
He's gone for a walk.
He was right. This is a perfect spot. So peaceful. You know something, Andy? I'm starting to feel very glad we moved here after all.
It's not a bad life, is it?
Not when you're among friends. You know, I haven't really had a chance to thank you.
Thank me? For what?
For being so friendly. After all, you must think us such dull people.
Nonsense.
Well, we must be so different from the people you knew in London. We're not artistic or anything like that.
No, I left London to get away from artistic people.
Yeah, all the same, I'm grateful. Because you take an interest. Because you don't think these two silly people with their silly dreams and their silly problems are hopeless cases.
No, I don't think you're hopeless cases. I don't think you're silly. I think you're two very exceptional people. And I'd like your dreams to come true.
Oh, Andy.
Don't cry.
But what you said, it was so beautiful. See, I am silly, aren't I?
Here comes Phil.
Hello there.
Nice walk.
Oh, yes, indeed. What have you two been up to?
Sleeping, mostly.
What, on a day like this? Disgraceful.
Why don't you sit down?
Nope. Having walked over that way, I thought I'd go this way now, into the woods. Want to come along, Andy?
Well, if Mary's all right on her own.
Oh, yes, you two go ahead. I'll have another sleep.
Well, in that case...
Yes, come on, Andy.
See you later, Mary.
Enjoy yourselves.
Where are you taking me, Phil?
You remember my saying there was something I wanted to show you? Well, now's the time.
What is it?
You'll see. Quiet in here, isn't it?
Yes.
This is a real countryside. Out there on the downs, you can smell the sea. You know there's a world beyond. But in here, you're totally cut off. You might be the last person alive. Ah, here we are. There. That's it. That's what I wanted to show you.
What is it?
A burrow. It must have been a badger set, though the badgers have long gone. A lot of it had caved in. I've been excavating it, shoveling out the earth, smoothing the sides. Where it is now, a man can just about squeeze in. It's a tight fit, but you get used to it.
What's it for?
A place to hide. You get in there and cover up the entrance with leaves and twigs, you're hidden from the world.
But why? Why do you need a place to hide?
Why not? Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't understand, Phil. I don't see the point of this.
It's just somewhere to get away from it all when things get too much.
And they're getting too much at the moment.
You really don't understand, do you? Do you think I'm ill or something? I thought you'd understand. Mary, no, that's why I didn't tell her. But you, Andy, well, I thought you'd understand.
Well, I don't understand why you aren't getting on with your business plans.
I told you I've had a bit of a setback. These store owners and their damned ignorance.
So, of course, you just give up.
Now, look. Andy, don't push me. I haven't given up. I just need to rethink things.
Is this how you rethink things? By coming here and digging a hole in the ground? Mary thinks you're out getting orders?
I told you, Andy, that don't push me. I won't be pushed.
I'm not pushing you. I'd just like to see you make a start.
Make a start, he says. Oh, it's easy for you, isn't it? All you have to do is sit down and draw. Starting a business is another matter. There are people to see... papers to sign, all sorts of arrangements to be made.
And when are you going to do all that?
When I'm ready. I need time to think things out. Then when I'm ready, I'll start.
We'd better get back.
Yes, we'd better.
I feel...
Look, you've had your say. Let's get back, if you're so keen to get back.
Mary, come in.
And Andy, you've got to help me. I don't know what to do.
Well, sit down, Mary. Calm down. Has Phil gone out?
Yes, he's just gone, same as every morning. I asked him where he was going, but of course he wouldn't tell me. We've hardly spoken since we got back from the picnic yesterday.
I wanted to call, but I thought perhaps I'd already interfered more than I should.
Andy, what happened between
you? Oh, we had a bit of an argument. Oh, if you can call it that. I was calm enough, but Phil just seemed to overreact. I'm sorry, Mary, it's all my fault. You warned me not to say anything to him.
Where does he go, Andy?
To the woods.
The woods?
Yes, he's been making himself a burrow.
A what?
A burrow.
No, I don't understand.
A hole in the ground, Mary. A place to hide away in.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, what is happening to him?
Now, Mary, that won't do any good.
I'm sorry, Andy. I mean, this isn't like me, is it? I mean, good old Mary, always buzzing about doing her housework, making her cakes, always able to cope. I mean, even last year I managed to cope, but now I just don't understand what's happening anymore.
Listen, Mary, I'll go and find him, bring him back.
Oh, will he listen to you?
I don't know. You go home, have a rest. I'll bring him back.
It's a long way and you haven't got a car.
Don't worry about me. The walk might do me good and give me time to think of something to say.
Phil. Phil. Are you in there?
Who is it?
It's me. Andy.
Go away, Andy.
Why?
I want to be on my own.
But why?
Does there always have to be a reason?
Yes. Look, don't you think we should at least talk things over? That's better.
Mary sent you, didn't she?
She's worried about you. So am I.
Of course. Everybody's always worried about me. Don't you know I'm not worth worrying about?
No.
Don't you know I'll never amount to anything? You should just leave me here and carry on with your own life. You and Mary.
Why do you say things like that?
Because they're true.
Phil, come home.
What good would it do?
Mary needs you.
Oh, she doesn't need me. She's much better off without me. Even she realises that now.
It's not true. She loves you. She wants you to succeed. A little setback in your plans.
Oh, little setback. You know nothing, Andy. Nothing.
I know you've got to come back. You've got to face up to things.
Do you think I'd be here if I hadn't faced up to things? Oh, all right. I'll come back if you think it'll do any good.
I'm sure it will.
Oh. Can you help me up? My legs have gone numb.
Yes, of course. There you are.
Thanks.
Well, shall we go?
Yes. I suppose we'd better.
You're back. Thank God. Oh, Phil. Phil, you idiot. Why must you always cause us so much trouble?
Never mind. Forget it.
How can I forget about it? I thought when we moved, I thought everything would be all right. We'd be so happy. Why aren't we happy? Don't I try hard enough?
Oh, yes, you try.
Oh, that's it. I know it is. I don't try hard enough. I don't do enough to make you happy. Well, tell me how, Phil. Tell me how I can make you happy, and I'll do it. Just tell me.
Mary, please.
Tell me, Phil. Why won't you tell me?
Oh, for God's sake, Mary.
Phil.
Can't you see? I just want to be left alone.
Phil, you know I only want you to be happy.
Well, then leave me alone!
Look, Phil.
No, Andy, please. No advice. I don't need your advice. Besides, don't you see? I'm doing what you want.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean the two of you. I'm leaving you free. You didn't suppose I didn't know. All this whispering behind my back, these visits while I was out.
Phil, what are you saying? You don't...
Oh, I'm not jealous. Far from it. I think you've made a wise decision. I mean, he's so much more to offer than I am. He's young. He's good-looking. Successful. He has a brilliant future in front of him.
Phil, is that what this is all about?
He's the ideal choice all round. Why stick with me when you can have him? I understand perfectly. And I wish you well.
I don't believe what I'm hearing.
Phil, you know none of that's true.
You said I should face up to things, Andy. Well, that's what I'm doing. I know I'll never amount to anything. I might just as well disappear and let you two get on with it.
Phil, you're wrong. I love you, Phil. And I'll never love anybody else as long as I live. Andy, I think you'd better go. Phil and I have a lot to talk over.
Talk. Always talk.
We must sit down and talk, Phil. I must prove to you how wrong you are about everything.
We'll be all right.
I think we will. Don't worry. We'll sort it out.
I should have called. I feel so guilty.
No. I wanted to deal with it myself. And I tried, Andy. Last night... This morning, this afternoon, talking endlessly. I tried to get through to him. It was no good. He wouldn't listen. It was like his mind was made up.
He didn't do anything to you?
Hit me, you mean? No, I almost wish he had. This was worse, this silence.
Where is he now?
In the pub. I should have known he'd start drinking again. It was bound to be the next step.
How long has he been there?
A couple of hours.
You should have come to me before.
I didn't want to worry you. I've caused you so much worry. I sat at home hoping he'd come back, and he didn't. And I didn't want to come and see you, but I couldn't stand it anymore.
There.
And all those things he said... About us. They're not true.
Of course not.
I never thought of you like that.
I know.
But you see, I love him, Andy. He's all I've got. I'm 40 years old. I'm not good looking. I never was. When he married me, I wondered what he saw in me. He made me feel so wanted. So special. Everything he's ever done... Everything he's ever dreamed of doing, it's all been for me. He wanted to give me the moon. But I don't want the moon, Andy. I only want him. I don't care if he doesn't succeed. I don't care if the business comes to nothing. I'd still love him. Oh, why won't he believe I'd still love him?
Hello. Andy, good to see you. What are you having to drink?
I'm not drinking.
What? Don't tell me you're on a wagon. How could you do this to me, my best friend on the wagon?
Am I your best friend?
Of course you are, none better.
Then come home.
Home? I don't have a home. This is my home.
You have a home and a wife who loves you. Come on.
Just one more drink, please.
No more drinks. You're coming with me.
Yes, sir. Anything you say, sir.
Can you walk?
Straight as an arrow, sir. Just watch me.
Come on, then. Let's see. Come on. Drink your coffee. It'll do you good.
I told you, I don't want any coffee.
How do you feel?
Fantastic. Terrible.
Drink your coffee. You'll feel better.
Andy, the things I said. You and Mary.
Yes?
Well, sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. I get these ideas round and round in my head. Ideas, pictures, voices.
I know, I know. Drink your coffee. It'll sober you up.
Oh, I'm sobering up. But what's so good, Andy? Shall I tell you what happens when you're sober? You see the truth. And the truth is, not only am I no good at making furniture, but I'm no good at anything.
Don't say that, Phil.
I'm no good at anything. Never have been. I've fooled everyone for years. I've even fooled myself sometimes. Till I saw the truth and couldn't face it. That's why I came here. To escape the truth. To try to prove that I was good for something. But Mary, she knows. She knows what I am. I haven't fooled her.
But she loves you, Phil.
Oh, damn you! Life's so simple for you, isn't it? You stand there and talk about love. What do you know about love? What do you know about being responsible for someone? And knowing that you can't live up to that responsibility because you're no good? What do you know about that? You're free. Free as a bird. Oh, how I envy you, Andy. How I envy you, your freedom. And your success, your money, and your looks. I could kill you, Andy. I could happily kill you!
God sake! Phil!
Voices. These voices. Round and round in my head. All the time. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, what I'm saying.
It's all right, Phil. Calm down.
Voices. As long as I can remember. Work. Make money. Be a success. Get on in the world. I believe them. I worked. Worked as hard as I could. Harder than anybody. But it wasn't any good. And still, all around me, people rushing, shouting, noise everywhere. Oh, what I wanted was peace. And sometimes, in my workshop, sometimes I've found peace. So I thought, why not all the time, if I could escape all that noise and still do something useful, something in my workshop.
You still could, Phil.
Oh. Oh, my workshop's no good to me now. Nothing here's any good to me now. I came here for peace and quiet. The countryside isn't quiet. Sometimes it fairly screams with noise. The birds in the morning, the wind in the trees, cows mooing across the fields, horses. Noise! Nothing but noise all day long, day in, day out. There's no peace here. You try standing out on the downs with the wind tearing at you, the gulls screeching, swooping at you. Then you'll know there's no peace here. Whole earth's in torment. You can feel it under your feet. There's no peace anywhere. Only in my burrow. There, it's quiet. There, you're alone.
really alone. Nothing can touch you. In there, the world's dead. Nothing matters anymore when you're in there. You see, Andy, I'm quite sober now. I'd best be going.
Do you think you're up to it?
If I'm not up to it now, I never will be. Besides, Mary must be worried.
Yes, I'm sure she is.
Well, there's no need for her to worry any more.
What do you mean?
I made up my mind. Things can't carry on like this any more.
Do you mean that, Phil?
Yes, of course I mean it. From now on, everything's going to be all right.
Bennett! Hold on! Come in!
I'm sorry to disturb you, Mr. Bennett. I didn't realise you were still in bed.
We'd better, haven't we? It's Sergeant Duffy.
That's right. Come in.
Sorry I kept you waiting. What time is it?
Just after 10.
Oh, good God, I'm usually up much earlier than this. I didn't get to sleep till quite late. I was worrying about various things.
About the marshals?
Yes. That's right. Why have you come to see me, Sergeant?
You took Mr. Marshall home from the pub last night.
Yes.
Did you take him straight home?
No, he came in here for a coffee. What is this all about?
Did he stay long?
He had his coffee and left.
To go home?
Yes.
How did he seem to you?
He seemed to have sobered up. Look, what is this about? Has something happened to Phil?
Well, we don't know yet, Mr. Bennett. We don't know where he is. But I'm afraid something has happened to Mrs. Marshall.
To Mary?
About an hour ago, old Mrs. Telford, who lives next door to the Marshalls, called on them to borrow some sugar. The door was open, but there was nobody about downstairs. She went upstairs and found Mrs. Marshall lying in bed. She tried to wake her, and when she couldn't, she came straight to the police station.
Is she dead?
Asphyxiated. Mrs. Telford found her with her head covered by a pillow. She seems to have been smothered. Mr. Bennett, are you all right?
I'm sorry, this is so... I can't...
Yes, I know this must be a shock to you. You were close to the Marshals, and more than anyone else here.
Sergeant, you say Phil is...
Yeah, he's gone. He disappeared. His car's gone, too.
And you think he's...
Well, we don't know what to think yet. There is something else I can tell you, though. We searched the house, of course. Everything was normal, except for the workshop.
The workshop?
And it was all smashed up. Looked as though a bulldozer had been through it. A terrible mess.
My God.
Mr. Bennett, you were Mr. Marshall's friend. You know his habits. Do you have any idea where he might have gone?
No, I can't think.
Never mind. If you do think
of
anything...
I'll let you know.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Bennett. And, I'm sorry, believe me.
Thank you, Sergeant.
But no, you stay where you are. I'll let myself out.
Phil. Phil.
I knew you'd come in.
The police are looking for you.
I know. I just needed a few hours by myself. Been so quiet here. So still. I've never known the countryside so still. I've done a lot of thinking these past few hours. I must have thought over my whole life, from beginning to end, the good and the bad, seeing what it all added up to.
And what did it add up to?
Just this. Being here. In this hole. In the stillness, alone, waiting. Apart from that, nothing. That's what my life adds up to. Nothing. She knew better than anyone.
Mary.
She was a good woman, Andy. One of the best. I failed her so badly that she always reproached herself, never me. Though I could see it in her eyes. You only had to look at her to know how much I'd failed her, to see how hurt she was. And that hurt me. In the end, I couldn't bear it.
Last night, when you got home...
Mary was so glad to see me. She put me to bed, tucked me in like a child. She was always so considerate towards me. This morning, when I woke up and looked at her sleeping, she seemed so peaceful. I didn't want her to wake up and see me. I wanted her to sleep, to be at peace. After that, I had to go into the workshop. I had to do that as a gesture. I wasn't in a rage or anything, Andy. I was quite calm. There weren't even any voices anymore. Isn't that strange? The voices have completely gone.
I should have realized.
No, Andy. If it hadn't happened now, it would have happened later. You don't have to blame yourself for anything. I'm the only one who's to blame.
Shall we go?
If you like.
I think it would be best.
Yes.
Would you believe it? My legs have gone numb again.
I'll help you up.
Oh, thanks. Let me stand for a while holding on to you. I don't think I can walk just yet.
You'll be all right in a minute or two.
Yes. Yes, of course I will.
I feel like... I'm sorry.
Sorry? For what?
For...
It doesn't matter, Andy. Nothing matters. Just look around you. Listen. It's peaceful, isn't it? So peaceful. That's all that matters. So peaceful.
In A Place to Hide by Howard Curtis, Phil was played by Colin Jevons, Andy by Kenneth Cranham, Mary by Petra Davis, and Sergeant Duffy by Michael McStay. The play was directed by Penny Gold.